I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is North South.
Everybody, Tim Kawakami here, North and South. Let's get right to it. We got Dylan Los Angeles Times. Dylan Hernandez in his hotel room in Seoul. I don't even want to know what time it is back there. We're keeping you awake, but I think a lot of things might be keeping you awake right now. My God, Dylan, what the hell? Just give me your impression. The Shohei Ohtani's interpreter's been fired. Obviously, all kinds of different things coming out about Ohtani paying his gambling debts, and then the interpreter is claiming that he went in and actually did send the money himself from Ohtani's account. Just the larger part of this, what struck you? What was that mood like in the Dodger clubhouse and around the Dodgers in Seoul today?
Yeah, it was a little bit, you know, I think it kind of turned, it was the atmosphere is downcast probably for the first time, right? I think as much as people were kind of complaining maybe at times about the number of people in the clubhouses and stuff, the truth is I thought it brought a kind of a good energy, right? People were excited about the team. The attention the team got was all kind of coming from like through a positive lens. And kind of for the first time, you know, you can kind of see it too, like in the players, just kind of their expressions and stuff, just that this was not something that they really wanted to be around, right? It's, you know, and it was such a, right, just a, such a turn from the day before where, again, the day before, you know, I think they didn't play a great game, but they still kind of won, which, right, they kind of won in a way, right? They scored a bunch of runs at the end of the game, and I think they kind of felt like, yeah, this kind of shows the type of team we are, right? That fact that we can just turn it on at any moment, it's things are going to break our way. Ohtani, just the way he's been embraced by the Korean public here, I think, you know, again, you know, on opening day, this whole tour felt like a huge success. And now all of a sudden, you know, you're kind of dealing with this situation where everybody's kind of frankly confused. You know, I think, you know, what's interesting, I think, is, right, I'm thinking back to kind of the number of scandals they've had, right, where say Julio Rios and his domestic violence thing. I think there was a lot of sadness, right? I think when Trevor Bauer got, you know, all those domestic violence allegations came out against him, there was, you know, a lot of disgust, right? I think when, you know, they dealt with the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence last year, you know, this kind of trans activist group, right? There was heated like on both sides, right? Manny Ramirez, when he got tested positive for whatever, there was shock, right? There was anger with the Houston Astros thing. Here, I'm not really sure anybody really knew how to feel, because I'm not really sure anybody has any idea what happened. You know, like you said, there were kind of conflicting stories, right? I think the one they settled on at the end was that, you know, Ipe Mizuhara stole money from Ohtani and used that to fund his bets. That said, we did not hear from Ohtani today, right? And I think, you know, kind of my bigger takeaway here is actually that, you know, one thing about Ohtani, and this is kind of part of his charm, I think, is that outside of baseball, he doesn't really seem to care too much, right? When it comes to contracts, obviously he deferred everything, you know, it's kind of, he leaves like a lot of response. He throws a lot of responsibility to other people, you know? Hey, you know, my PR basically, you know, when I talk, hey, you know what? You guys decide, you know, this type of stuff, you guys decide. And my feel right now is he's kind of got to grow up finally. You know, he's close to 30 years old. I think one of the great appeals that he has, you know, is that, you know, like Magic Johnson, you know, it's hard to believe that there's a boxer like this, but, you know, like Manny Pacquiao, right? Like Ronaldinho in soccer. These are guys who look like they're kids playing a kid's game, right? And that's why I think like the fans are so much drawn to them. You know, I think in this case, though, kind of off the field too, he's not really, you know, you don't really get the sense that he's kind of like a fully formed human being in some way, right? His talent has allowed him to kind of, right, just kind of focus on baseball. And now I think, you know, you look at the way this has been handled from like a PR standpoint, he's a smart kid, you know? You know, I would suggest he take more control of this, right? He should probably take more control of his finances. He should probably take more control of.
Well, apparently he had a lot of control of 4.6. I mean, that's one part. Like, he didn't have an accountant who says, you've got to go through me to transfer $4.6 million. Like, that's where there's a lot of this is just mind blowing that he doesn't have a set process of people around him that involving all this money. We know all the sponsorship money. And so you can't just sign over your name to a, you know, an illegal, you know, illegal bookmaking account. I'll just say, let's go backwards a little bit. You know, this situation, these people, at least Ipe, the interpreter, do you know him at all? Does it seem like this is the kind of guy who could put Ohtani through this kind of thing?
Yes and no. You know, I mean, the $4.5 million line of credits, it seems awfully high to me, right?
For a guy just to get it from some gambler. Yeah, like right. His hookup with Ohtani may have enabled him to run up this kind of bill.
Right, in which case, you know, that's obviously problematic, right? I mean, you know, that said, I think, you know, I have, you know, it's funny because, you know, we found out about this kind of at the beginning of the week, and really it kind of came out in the form of, you know, that the FBI was investigating this alleged bookmaker down in Orange County. And as they were looking through stuff, Ohtani's name pops up, right? So that's kind of where we started on this, you know, and I remember at the time, I just kind of felt like, man, like Ohtani gambling, to me, that didn't fit in a way, right? In that, here's a guy who sleeps 14 hours a day, right? Who just kind of has given up so much for his career. I think his career means more to him than anything, you know? And just from the fact that, especially in Japan, gambling is a big, big no-no, you know? Even, you know, and so I just kind of, you know, my initial thing was, I'm not really sure about that. You know, now at the same time, right, we're getting this thing of $4.6 million. Changing stories, you know, Dallas Braden, right? The A's broadcaster certainly voiced that, you know, raised that possibility that, hey, is there something else going on here? You know, was Ipe Mizuhara made the fall guy? You know, I can't say at this point that I don't think that's a possibility, at least. So, you know, it's I don't know. You know, and I think there's just so many gaps in all the stories right now, frankly, that like it's really kind of hard to tell what's what, you know, and I guess it kind of comes down to one of those things. You really, you know, you never really truly know anybody, right? And as much as I kind of think, yeah, I don't think Ohtani would do this, I mean, who's really to say?
That's one thing, you know, we never know, right? But when you're a mysterious person out there, a superstar who is so private, that's fine. You know, it can be a little uncomfortable, but that's how you choose to do it. He just reveals his wife out of the blue that no one had ever put them together. Okay, but you can't then get involved with this without people just filling in all the blanks, right? You don't know about him. There's people who fooled us, no question. There's people who've gone public and I'm this kind of person. And everyone believes them and they're actually another kind of person. I'm not saying that hasn't happened. But when you're as private as Ohtani and you don't speak to the media, right? He doesn't speak to the Japanese media, right? He doesn't speak to the American media very much. I wouldn't believe then something like this comes up and there's nobody can understand that you for sure wouldn't do this. Like, you can't say that because we just don't know the guy. And also, you know, you can paint the picture of what that clubhouse was like after the game with Ohtani and clearly PR people stationed so no one would talk to him. He might not talk for a long time, right? This is not going to help him get out there. I think the wisest move would have been to talk about it today. I'm going to speak my piece. And then you know, there's just going to be fewer blanks for people to fill in with their, you know, their speculation and their fantasies and their agendas. You don't talk, which we know he doesn't talk very often, then we're just going to have to fill it in ourselves. And that's the problematic part of being a mysterious superstar. You better not get into stuff like this, or else people are going to start adding their own stories to you because you've given them nothing. Again, that's part of the give and take. But like, how do you think Ohtani's going to deal with this? And then what was that mood when he was at his locker, all those reporters around him, and two PR people stationed so people can't get near him?
Yeah, so, you know, and you know, even going to that point, so yes, after opening day, right, the first game, you know, I approached Ohtani, right? They didn't take him to the podium, even though he had two hits and stole a base. So I approach him. One of the PR guys is going, no, no, no. And I asked Ohtani, dude, you're not going to talk? And he was in a really good mood, you know? Mm-hmm. And was like, oh, no, I'm fine talking. You know, he tells the PR guy, I'm fine. He puts his arm around the guy. Hey, let's do this together type thing. You know, and he was laughing and joking throughout the whole thing. And, you know, to your point about kind of filling in those gaps, I look at that now. You know, initially I was just kind of like, well, he had a good game, right? In his first game, right? And the fact that I think they won the type of game that he was kind of used to losing with the Angels. Hmm. You know, you could kind of see like, okay, he's feeling good about where he is right now. You know, you start looking at that a little bit differently, right? Because by that point, actually, Ipe Mizuhara had already addressed the team.
Yeah.
You know, so, okay, what was that then, right? Was this some kind of performance to maybe, you know, buy himself some, you know, okay, well, I talked yesterday, you know, tomorrow when you guys have real questions, I'm going to bail on this thing. And you're right, you know, and I think that there's going to be a lot of kind of conflict. You know, I think, you know, a lot of these directives to, you know, usher the guy out of the room are coming from Nesbalelo, the agent from CAA, you know, not exactly a PR whiz, right? I mean, he was the one who advised Ryan Braun when Ryan Braun got busted with steroids to not just lie, but to go after like the tester, right? I mean, you know, we saw how that ended up working out for him. You know, so there's already, you know, I think the team is kind of looking at Belalo and like, why is this guy telling us what to do? You know, I think the league, right, you know, I don't think Rob Manfred particularly cares about the media one way or another, but ultimately, right, he got Bud Selig to outplace them there. The writers were important to Selig. I think they, right, the commissioner's office continues to try to kind of honor that tradition. You know, so I think that, you know, because we were told earlier this year, you know, if they place somebody in front of the locker, like they can't do that. That's against the CBA, you know. So I'm sure actually some complaints going to be filed at some point, whatever. Who knows if that will actually lead to anything. But yeah, you know, and these types of things grow, right? And again, you know, the team just lost. It was a bad loss where they fielded terrible. They pitched terribly. You know, Max Muncy just had like a nightmare on defense. And it was just a very kind of negative environment, you know, and he was kind of ushered out of there as, you know, almost like a police escort type. It was that type of feeling, right? I mean, I don't think, you know, again, the PR guy that ushered him out, this is probably not what he had in mind, you know, when he took this job, right? That he was going to
have to kind of upset all the Japanese media and, you know, push this guy out of there. So, yeah, you know, and I could see this again, right? They're now going to go back to LA. They're on a flight right now. They just lost a really bad game. You know,
Yamamoto got lit up.
Yeah, Yamamoto got lit up. The defense was terrible. And now they're going to kind of have all these questions. And then on top of that, it's like now you got to deal with this kind of circus and you don't even know what to believe about it, right? I mean, you know, I think, you know, and I mentioned Ryan Braun, but kind of going back to that situation, you know, I know Zach Greinke, you know, he ended up with the Dodgers later and talked about being very upset, like when he found out later that like Braun had cheated just because, you know, he had convinced his whole team of one thing. And, you know, I think when there's kind of confusion, when the players kind of don't know, and keep in mind, this guy's new to them, right? They don't really know this guy. They don't know. I mean, did he do it? Did he not? Was it really Ipe? Did he make him take a fall? Like, who knows? You know, why are all these people in here? Why is this atmosphere like this now? You know, the one thing that is kind of maybe his saving grace for Ohtani is that the dude still hits, yeah. You know, guys still can somehow put everything away. You know, I mean, we obviously, you know, we saw kind of the ultimate in that in Barry Bonds, right? It doesn't matter like what's going on. It could be nuclear winter outside, the guy's still going to hit. And that's kind of maybe Ohtani's like kind of one route to salvation here is the fact that, you know, maybe as this team is kind of struggling through, if he's that guy that continues to hit, maybe that buys him some grace, at least with his teammate.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
He's losing a friend, though, right? Ipe was a good friend. Maybe his closest friend in clubhouse is. Am I overreading that? I mean, how big a loss is that for Ohtani?
Yeah, I mean, they were together all the time, right? And I think, if anything, them two kind of created their own little world, you know? And again, you know, when I kind of talk about, like, Ohtani needing to grow up, it's kind of that, you know, they've always kind of created these little bubbles for him, right, wherever he's gone. And they're these protective bubbles, and he doesn't really have to deal with things that he thinks are going to kind of take away from baseball, or, you know, just kind of things that are just kind of you'd rather not deal with, right? And, you know, I think Ipe also probably served as a, you know, comfortable buffer between him and his teammates. Yep. You know, the fact that it's sometimes, right, it's actually easier to communicate through like a third party, especially when the guy tends to be fairly likable, like Ipe is. So, yeah, I do think, you know, that's going to be a big difference. I mean, I think, again, like Ohtani, you know, again, like, you know, like Magic Johnson, he's a guy who's always has a smile on his face when he's playing the game. And the one thing today that you noticed was when he was in the dugout and, you know, they kind of brought in the substitute interpreter. Obviously, they're not joking around, right? Ohtani doesn't know this guy. And so, yeah, I do think they're going to be little things there that are going to make him uncomfortable. That said, back against the wall, I always trust this guy to perform. I just kind of think that there's a, you know, in a good way, a screw loose up there where when he feels he's kind of pushed, you know, with his back against the wall, he's going to respond, you know. And again, I go back to that first MVP season in 2021. You know, the Angels kind of have made it sound like, oh, you know, we took the shackles off him. That is not how he interpreted that. He interpreted, you're not getting any days off as, either put up or shut up, right? We're going to try to make you quit hitting or pitching. And he responded with arguably the best season in baseball up to that point.
Dodgers completely taken by surprise. I'm not saying like today, but like, Do you think they had any inclination of this in the last week or so of the FBI investigation of the gambler in Orange County? Or are they just like, whoa, our 1.2, whatever the hell, well, I guess it's took together. So like $700 million investment now has some issues. And oh, my God, what do we do? Was that the mood from the Dodgers themselves, from the executives? I saw, you know, no comment, no comment, no comment, which is a little bit like not great. You can talk to the people and not say much. They chose not to say anything. Are Dodgers in shock right now?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I mean, we, you know, I think at least reached out to Major League Baseball to ask them what they knew at a certain point. I'm, you know, kind of from what I gather, the Dodgers got looped in pretty quickly after that. So they, you know, they've had a few days to kind of come to the realization of like what was going on here. You know, I think they're hoping right now that this just goes away, right? I think the way they're trying to frame this and the way Major League Baseball is trying to frame this is, hey, look, right? He is a victim, right? This guy stole from him. This is a story. There's no reason for us to investigate the story any further because we already know what happened, you know? And that's the kind of the funny thing, right? They seem oddly sure about what happened, given that they've only talked to two people. I'm guessing they haven't reviewed any bank records or anything, you know? So I think they're just really hoping at this point that this is just going to miraculously go away. You know, we got some pretty good reporters on this, man. I don't know if you overlap with Paul Pringle at all.
No, but
you know, Paul's ripped some people up before, you know?
I'm just saying, like, oh, we believe the second story that the interpreter told, but not the first story, right? You have to do it that way. If the first story is like Ohtani knew and paid his debts, and that was it. And actually, that's the more believable part of this. Again, I keep going back to, like, how did Ippe have all the codes it would take to transfer $4.6 million? That's not just a bank account. Just let me, you know, Venmo Dylan $6. That's not that. Right. And I would never do that anyway, by the way. who knows with you? Like, it was, and the reasoning makes sense, right? In the first interview with ESPN, he said that, yeah, why didn't he just, you know, Ohtani just give you the money? He said, no, he was afraid of what I would do with it. Like, that all makes, that's human nature. Like, those,
yeah,
it just feels like that was, to me, I don't know. And I'm not trying to make a legal decision here, but that feels like the simplest answer to this incredibly complicated story, that Ohtani was just doing it in his own name. And, you know, if you do it in your own name, you probably weren't involved in the really bad stuff, right? You wouldn't put it in your name. You would try to find a way around it. Again, that's where I go. Like, he doesn't have people around him who could have done that for him, by the way. That's amateur hour, right? I mean, it's kind of naive, and I guess I have to, some of that appeals to me, that he doesn't have fixers and he doesn't have people who could go out and try to intimidate people, whatever. But it seems incredibly naive if we buy the first story. The second story smells to me. It does. But then, by the way, in this ESPN story, it talks about Ohtani's spokesperson addressing them. Who's this person? Where did that? I'd never heard of an Ohtani spokesperson when he was with the Angels or even doing the negotiation. This person just materialized during this situation, or have you known about an Ohtani spokesperson?
So, yeah, we only knew about this again when, you know, I believe Paul reached out to Nez Bolelo, actually, mm-hmm. right? And we heard back now from an outside PR firm, you know, that hasn't been connected to very, right? I mean, you look at the list of clients, it's like pretty like hardcore criminal types here, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they've done like really, really bad stuff. And so that, again, makes you also kind of wonder, right? Like, why are they going out and hiring this guy, you know? And yeah, you know, kind of going back to your thing about the, you know, the right, that first story that he paid off the debt, you know, I would actually even argue, right? I mean, you know, we could argue it's against the law, whatever, right? You know, maybe there's even some wire fraud or whatever involved, but like, to me, it kind of speaks well of a guy, to me, right? At least that.
Sounds very Japanese to me, Dylan. Like, we can
speak about it. Friend is in trouble, you know, and he's going to like bail the guy out, right? And actually, you know, the funny thing is actually, though, in Japan, you know, gambling is very kind of no-no, you know? Mm-hmm. And in Japan, kind of pariahs are kind of left, right? You don't deal with lepers and pariahs, so to speak. You just kind of, you don't want to be associated. I do think, you know, that first story would be problematic for him in Japan because he becomes an accessory to a crime. But my vantage point, that's a solid dude, right? He's doing his guy a solid, you know. And, you know, again, like laws to me, right? I mean, people just kind of make them up in a way, right? You know, but I do think that there is a certain honor and, again, taking care of people who have taken care of you, you know. And so I personally, you know, again, like you said, I think there's a lot of kind of human nature there, that one you could kind of understand. Now, my guess is, you know, that story where the lawyers looked at it and were like, wait a second, this is going to get us in, this could get us in a different type of trouble, you know.
So you have the interpreter come back out and say, I stole the money. Like, that's the biggest crime of all. Like, that is an actual, you know, 5-alarm felony of stealing money. And that seems very human, like in a all take the fall, whether or not it is or isn't, I don't know. But again, not to make this ridiculously cliche Japanese, but almost like seppuku, like I'll put the knife in my stomach for my dishonor, you know, in a way that, you know, make sure that you don't get tarred by this or any further tarred by it. And it almost seems ridiculous. Like, I stole the money that I originally said that you sent to me to cover my gambling debts. Like, that, there's a remarkable twistiness to this that almost sounds too bungled up to actually not to have elements of the truth to me, like elements of the truth, not the whole truth. And I think we will hear about the whole truth, but it's just a mess. So you've mentioned, like, just keep hitting, and we know how focused he can be, but man, the way the clubhouse is going to feel, we've talked about this, what's Freddie Freeman and Mookie Betts going to feel about Max Muncy, whoever else, Yamamoto, by the way, who is going to feel about the weight this kind of just lends to a season. The first month of this season, at least, is going to be burdened by this, questions about this. Even if Ohtani's hitting, I guess that lightens it up a lot, but as this moves through whatever investigation is happening, or multiple investigations, and friendships lost, jobs lost, what's the rest of the clubhouse going to feel about this? Already probably, you know, a little attuned to the fact that things are very different this season.
Yeah, and, you know, again, I go back to, like, the Bonds thing, right? When the focus, I think it's another, right? It's a one thing, too, if there's, you know, I don't know. You know, the Dodgers had, like, Yasiel Puig, right, who became the center of attention for a while, and that attention wasn't always positive, but it was more or less linked to something that was going on the field. You know, when things start getting uncomfortable is when it's, like, off-the-field stuff that nobody has any control over, that nobody even might have any idea about really what's going on, right? That type of negativity is different because, again, I think guys, you know, these are guys that are used to being in control of situations, right? I mean, that's what a professional athlete is, right? You know, you talk about when we talk about a guy grinding out an at bat, we're talking about a guy who's not giving in. You know, these are people that are used to kind of, again, being in command of a situation. And you put them in a situation like this, I think it's tough. And, you know, here's the other thing, too. They're only 2 games in, right? You know, there's a reason, you know, I think a lot of fans don't quite understand this, right? When, you know, it's like, okay, yeah, that guy's a bad guy, but what, my team should go out and sign him. Well, man, you know what, like, including spring training, right? You're together 7 months a year, more if you make the playoffs. It's a lot of time. You're going to spend a ton of time. And right now they have 160 games left with this type of atmosphere. And it's just going to get worse. Keep in mind, you know, they because this game was overseas, not everybody was given, like, a clubhouse badge, right? So a lot of the media was kept out. United States, right? We're in Major League Baseball. Everyone with the Baseball Writers of America card has access to the clubhouse. I mean, these places are going to get packed, you know, especially in the bigger markets. Teams not doing well. You know, you have games like the one they just played right now. No one's going to be feeling good about that situation.
Let's quickly go to Yamamoto, a $325 million pitcher that everybody was in on. And we talked about, like, how's he going to be with a major league ball? How's he going to be? Now he's not pitching every fifth day, but then it's obviously the opener. But how's he going to be throwing that fastball against major league hitters? Clearly was not throwing it past anybody. Clearly didn't have great, he's hitting people. Did you have was there a red light in your head when he was struggling through that first inning? 43 pitches, unbelievable. You know, that's a Lincecum kind of, like, performance at some times when he's struggling. What was your big picture take from that real struggle outing for him.
Yeah, I mean, everything that was hit, he was getting hit on the screws. I mean, they were hitting rockets, right? These were not, little bleeders here and there. I mean, even, Max Muncy kind of olayed one like at third base, and, you could say, yeah, he should have caught that, right? He should have. But that thing was still hit really, really hard, and I think that's kind of the disconcerting thing. He looks like a comfortable at bat right now. I just can't fathom, I just have to think he's got to be hurt or something, just because, he looked like this at the end of camp too, at the end of spring training when he pitched. The last couple games were not good. I just can't, how can you be that wrong?
Tipping pitches? Right? I mean, that's been a story out there. I mean, you think he's tipping pitches maybe?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that was probably right. I know that came up earlier in spring, but man, it just looks like a really, really comfortable at bat right now. And his pitching motion is kind of interesting, right? Because when he cocks his arm back, he doesn't have it bent, right? He has it straight when his arm is back to kind of simulate throwing like a javelin almost, right? And it's kind of this full body thing. And the arm kind of is supposed to kind of whip around like this, right? And now they tell me that his arm is especially flexible because of that. He kind of has this whip-like motion. The people that I spoke to in Japan, right, and I went to, again, visit Oryx's former team, they were saying that kind of adds to the deception. I think here, though, the feeling has been, he gets the ball out of the glove pretty quickly. You see the ball a long time. And maybe that's the problem. They do have TrackMan and stuff over there now, right? All the ballparks over there are equipped with TrackMan. So it's not just kind of this eye test anymore, right? There is data. The ball is different, but there is some data that gives you a baseline of understanding of what type of pitcher you're getting. And it's just right now, it's just really hard for me to just understand how a guy that was that dominant in Japan is this hittable in the major leagues right now. My gut just kind of tells me something's got to be wrong there physically, just because otherwise this is just, I think I mentioned Kenta Maeda, right? When, kind of as an early comp, Kenta Maeda is still pretty good, right? He's a mid 3 ERA type of guy. He's not going to blow any, right? But he's still a pretty good pitcher. I mean, the guy I saw today was about as hittable as major league pitchers I've seen. So, my anticipation, my guess is that we'll see a DL or something somewhat soon. He's probably at the beginning. He got a lot of money. He probably feels pressured to pitch. I think he understands what he's walked into. Again, besides him, it's all injury question marks. Got a bunch of guys, right? Glasnow's been hurt all the time. Paxton's been hurt all the time. Walker Buehler's coming off of, Tommy John surgery. I think, you looked at him to kind of be the reliable piece in there that was going to take the ball every 5-6 days or however they lined it up. I wouldn't be shocked again if we kind of find that there was something wrong physically, just because otherwise, to me, this just doesn't make any sense.
Oh, man. I mean, I understand what you're saying, and probably long-term, maybe that's a better explanation than just being crappy. But come back from Korea with Ohtani in some sort of issue with gambling and his interpreter, FBI, and Yamamoto getting lit up and possibly going to DL. Dylan, what the hell? This is still March, and the greatest team ever assembled in history. There's some real issues here. I mean, can you step back and feel that right now? Where are the Dodgers? They still got a lot of great players. I'm not saying they don't, but they're playing Mookie Betts as shortstop. That's just a little tiny little footnote, and it's possible that their $325 million pitcher is not right. And I don't know what's going to go on with Ohtani. Big picture, where are the Dodgers, Dylan?
Yeah, I mean, the funny thing you mentioned, Mookie Betts, that was actually probably one of the brighter spots of these, the time here. He was actually pretty good the first 2 days. That said, yeah, and I think another concern that you kind of saw was, especially in that first game, now. You give them credit. They got Darvish out there very quickly, right? They ran up his pitch count. Darvish didn't even get through 4 innings. That did set them up to win in the later innings. However, as, the lineup kept turning over and over and the innings kept going by, you just kept wondering, okay, when's the top of the lineup coming up? When's the top of the lineup coming up? Because you know what? You get past Will Smith there. There are a lot of guys that you can't really, you know, yeah, sure, they might run into something every now and then. But when we're talking about this lineup being special, we're really talking about the first four guys, Betts, Otani, Freeman, and Will Smith, you know. And kind of the way these games were unfolding, it started to feel kind of familiar, you know. A lot of these, you know, issues that I think have popped up right now are things that are familiar to Dodger fans who have been frustrated October after October. You know, again, top-heavy lineup, right? You have the pitching quite not quite being there, you know. The defense not being great, you know. So, yeah, they have some problems. You know, now I think we got to remember, you know, you're going to have teams like the Rockies coming in at some point, and you're just going to, right, those are like 3-4 automatic wins. You know, but I do think it projects out to be problematic come October, you know, when you're playing against the better teams, right? And keep in mind, this Padres team, they had to get rid of, they just dumped Juan Soto, right? Mm-hmm. They just couldn't afford him anymore. I mean, this is not even the Padres team.
Blake Snell.
You know, last year, right? They lost Blake Snell. Yeah. I mean, you know, so, yeah, it's, I think they're going to have some challenges. You know, my guess is that they're going to have to probably make some adjustments again at the trade deadline. You know, and we've kind of seen now, traditionally, they haven't really been ones to kind of push all in at the deadline. That said, you know, they've already invested this much, and it kind of seems the attitude they've taken now is, well, we already, you know, got Ohtani. Let's go get Yamamoto. Let's go get Glass now, right? These things are just kind of, right? And, you know, they might have to pick up another pretty big bill in July because, this roster, while it's very exciting and kind of top heavy, definitely has problems.
Sign Jordan Montgomery. Who the hell? Whatever. Just keep going. Keep going. All right. This has been a strictly a South version of North and South, but I didn't want to go without having a little Dylan Hernandez from the scene of the biggest friggin' story in sports right now with obviously your deep history covering Ohtani and around the Dodgers and around the Angels when he was there. Let's wrap it up from there. It's super late. I'm surprised you're not in your pajamas right now. rolling out of bed in your hotel room. Thank you for waking up in the middle of the night to do this. But I think this was an important show to do. And man, there's stuff going on. And get have a nice flight back. You're gonna have some jet lag, but my God, then there's gonna be Ohtani stuff like freaking every day once you're back there. And
freeway series. I haven't been to that in I don't know how many years. Freeway series. I'm gonna.
You're a freeway series columnist. That's what you are.
It's like I'm back on the beat now, man. So
it's interesting. So thank God for interesting times. It makes us tired, but they're something to talk about. All right, everybody, that is the show for today. Thank you, Dylan.
No, thank you.
All right, everybody. Thanks. Talk to you soon.